Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. We are entering the final weeks of the church year, and you will see in these 2 weeks now that there will be many themes that deal with the end times, and that's reflected in our service for today. The hymn we'll sing at the end of the service today, we will actually sing that three different times during the week. It has many verses to it, so that's sort of our hymn for the week. Just to draw your attention to the bottom of the page for today, you'll see that there's an announcement regarding Missions Night this evening at 6:30 in Meyer Hall in the big presentation room, Seminar Room 101. We will have brief presentations from five different mission agencies. If you're at all interested in possibly doing some type of mission work, some of it could involve traveling, some of it could involve just sitting at your computer. And if you're interested at all in looking into that, and even if you're not, I'd still encourage you to come to that tonight. I think you'll find it very interesting. And then each of these organizations will also have a table displayed in the lobby of Meyer Hall as well. We'll have supper starting at 6:30 if you want to come for Topper's Pizza and root beer floats. We've got that too. So we begin our worship today with select verses from Psalm 74 to be sung responsively. Please rise. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, select verses. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. This week marks a very sad anniversary. It was 39 years ago this very week that a man by the name of Jim Jones convinced more than 900 people to drink some poison-laced Kool-Aid and go to their deaths in Guyana, South America. He had one time said this about himself: "If you see me as your friend, I'll be your friend. For those of you who do not have a father, I'll be your father. If you see me as your savior, I'll be your savior. If you see me as your God, I'll be your God." He taught that he himself was a reincarnation of a combination of Buddha and Jesus Christ. Another tragic scene happened with a cult in Texas, Camp Davidian, the Branch Davidian cult led by a man named David Koresh, who also believed himself to be the Messiah and the Christ. He was, by his own teaching, the only one who could accurately teach scripture to anybody. 82 people died in a fiery fiery battle with authorities at Mount Carmel Center in Waco, Texas. One more. Dr. Sun Myung Moon, who died about 5 years ago, started what has become known today as the Unification Church. And listen to what he says about himself from the Divine Principle, his great writing, kind of like the Book of Mormon. With the fullness of time, God has sent one person to this earth to resolve the fundamental problems of human life and the universe. His name is Sun Myung Moon. For several decades, he wandered through the spirit world. He fought alone against millions of devils, both in the spiritual and physical worlds, and triumphed over them all. He brought to light all the secrets of heaven. Today, he died, like I said, 5 years ago, hasn't been heard from since. But today, his church body claims more followers than the ELS, Wisconsin Synod, and Missouri Synod combined. Millions of followers. When Jesus warns about false Christs that will appear, and when he warns that many people will go after them, he certainly knew what he was talking about. And this warning was sent out to his disciples and recorded in Scripture for all time for all of his faithful, because the issue about who Christ is and who your faith is in is so absolutely essential. Not simply because you might die a strange death drinking Kool-Aid or in a fiery blaze or some other strange way, but more importantly because it will affect and impact how you stand on Judgment Day and whether or not you're allowed into heaven. It's so important for our faith to be wrapped around and grabbing onto the one true Christ. As John says about him, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And it's as simple as that. Don't make it any more complicated. Your Christology, who you believe, who you teach about, who you understand as the Christ that you put your faith and trust in, is absolutely essential, because all of the work of truly paying for the debt of your sins and mine before God could only happen through this one individual in history. I remember when I was a child that a friend taught me to take a little magnifying glass out, and you could focus the rays of the sun down onto one tiny little spot and burn a leaf or something. Think of that, about how God took care of the wrath that he had against your sin, like the rays of the sun that should have poured down upon every one of us and burned all of us. But he chose instead to focus it down to one spot in time, on one particular individual, on his own son, and to burn him instead of you and me, so that now there is no condemnation for those who are in that Christ Jesus by faith. So believing and trusting in this one individual who alone took the wrath of God for you is so absolutely essential. And that's why Jesus speaks so firmly about it often in the Gospels. The night before his arrest, there's recordings in the book of John of the things he talked about with his disciples that very night. And he goes on and on about the relationship that he has with the Father, that it's only through him, and now through the word that will be brought to his church through his apostles. And likewise, we see this with Jesus' apostles as well. In many of their writings, in many of the epistles in the New Testament, we can see how important Christology is. Knowing the right Christ was so essential. Peter, in his Pentecost sermon, if you look at it closely, is focused entirely on who is this man, Jesus Christ, this God-man, and what he's done for us. If you look at many of Paul's epistles, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, in the first chapter or two, he has large sections defining for us who is this Savior, who precisely is this Christ, so that we don't lose it. And he even warns and gives warnings of who the Antichrist would be. The same was carried over into the very early Christian church. They fought battles over this. They went to war for this. This was a hill upon which they were willing to die, because they knew that the entire Christian faith, the entire evangelism of the world, was dependent upon knowing and believing and trusting in the correct Christ. But you know who else knows this? Our great adversary, the devil. Satan knows how significant this Christ is for us. He knows his doctrine pretty well. And throughout time, he has wasted no energy. He has been willing to expend so much time and attention trying to get inside of the church to infiltrate and bring in false concepts and ideas of who this Christ is. And you can see it in the early church, even before we get out of the New Testament era. The horrible doctrine known as Gnosticism that tried to deny that Christ had a real human body. Not even 100 years later, we see another one rise up by a man named Artemon. Artemon's heresy was this, that Christ was only human. So right there, within 100 years, inside of the church, were two great challenges against the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. Satan is very deceiving. He doesn't completely tempt you away from your faith with severe temptations like atheism. Granted, that happens once in a while. Or maybe Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam. That can happen now and then. But you really don't hear many people who were brought up in a solid Christian faith falling away into those. But what he often tries to do is to start to take your love of Christ and his word and slowly misdirect it. Get it just a little bit off of center. Take the spotlight just a little bit off of Christ and maybe onto something that has to do with the Christian faith, but then begin to guide and mislead further and further away from that. He can begin to water down the very Christ you trust in. He can start to have you worship and use language in your worship life that starts to water down who this very God is that you worship. He can get you to focus on spiritual matters that have nothing to do with Christ. And in the end, is hoping to slip you away from really believing in him. So your Lord, who died for you and rose for you to give you life, does not want you to be duped. He says to us today in our text, he who endures to the end will be saved. And that's what he wants for you more than anything else. That's why he came and died. That's why he rose again. That's why he's ascended to heaven to prepare a place for you. He who endures to the end will be saved. Over in Africa, there are many people working in the medical field right now to try to stop the spread of the Ebola virus. Millions and millions of dollars, probably billions in the last decade, have been spent on trying to fight this horrible plague. And all it takes is one individual walking into a village with that plague and having it go unnoticed for a while, and it can begin to spread to so many others. Christ is the anti-plague. He is the one man that can walk into the church and bring with him the antivirus for death. He is the one anti-plague that by faith in him and grabbing onto him alone can we have our sins forgiven and the hope of everlasting life. And he says to you, if you continue in my word, then you truly are my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that by your word you have brought us out of the darkness of error into the light of your grace. We beseech you, mercifully help us to walk in that light, guard us from all error and false doctrine, and grant that we may not become ungrateful and despise and persecute your word, but receive it with all our heart, govern our lives according to it, and put all our trust in your grace. Through the merit of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.